You are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our guest this week is a fellow critic and a personal friend of mine, Mr. Al Bresloff. Al has been a critic for a long time. Al, hello.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Tell us who you are a critic for. I know you write for several publications.
Actually, yes, I do. I write for Extra, which is a bilingual newspaper, El Imparcial, which is all Spanish, Teleguía, which is a Spanish TV magazine that now has theater added to it, which is again in Spanish, The Epoch Times, which is a Chinese paper, but it's delivered to the Gold Coast area and the South Loop. And the other is SalsaChicago.com, which is where I got started after I left La Raza.
Oh, great. So, plus you're one of the reviewers that's on the review roundup on our Talk Theater in Chicago.
That is correct.
Great. So tell us your background now, because everyone always wants to know, you know, as critics, they always want to know where we come from.
Well, I was an actor at one time, many, many, many years ago. In fact, back in high school days, when I was the first show I ever did on a sort of big production was Damn Yankees, where Frank Galati and I were double cast.
Is that right? Yeah. Like the famous director, Tony Award-winning director.
Right. Frank and I were Applegate the Devil in Damn Yankees back in 1960 at Glenbrook High School in Northbrook. And I was about the size of him at that time. Thank God I've lost some of my weight. He hasn't.
Terrific. And then you give us...
After that, I went to Goodman Theater. I studied there, and I also had worked at Music Theater in Highland Park that summer, going to Goodman. And then during my stay at Goodman, I decided that I wanted to lose weight, and I did, to do a play called Bus Stop to play the cowboy, to play Bo. I lost...
The William Ng play.
120 wow. pounds in 120 days. Got the part, did the show, and got on a bus, a Greyhound bus, and went to New York. And 7 days later, I was in West Side Story.
The Broadway production?
The Broadway production.
And what did you play in West Side?
I was just one of the Jets. I was there for about 6.5 months, and then I did a show called The Fantastics off Broadway.
You were in the when were you in The Fantastics?
That was in 1963, and that was for 4 months. And then
that was after Jerry Orbach.
I didn't play his role. I played Matt.
You played Matt.
Yeah, I would have loved to have played
the El Gallo.
El Gallo, but they said I could sing it properly, but I just didn't look it.
So you were one of those people of our generation who just decided to follow his dream.
I wanted it as bad as it can be, and then a big old friend of ours, Uncle Sam, came after me and said, "There's a war going on, and we're gonna need you." So I did what I had to do and went to college went to school. When I was at school, I did some plays there, did a lot of plays.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Kendall College up in Evanston, which is now a culinary school in Chicago. At that time, it was a junior college.
I remember it.
It was the gateway to Northwestern. And Leon Oftenberg, who was the theater person there, I kind of went in low profile. I wasn't going to say anything. And I took a class that was a oral reading thing, and I did a reading of Mark Twain, and he said, "You're the actor. I heard there was an actor here, so I need you to do a show. We're doing All's Well That Ends Well." He said, "I'll pay for your tuition if you do the show for me." So I did Pericles and I stayed there until I graduated, and then I went on to Northwestern for 2 semesters and then on to DePaul from there. But I didn't do any shows at DePaul. That time I kind of like was working in order to pay for school. I had to work. And I couldn't do any shows. And I kind of got out of it for a while. Then years later, I started doing some shows, community theater up in Buffalo Grove area. I did a few shows in Lake Zurich and a couple in Elgin.
What kind of parts? Musicals, dramas?
Yeah, music. I did Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof. I did The King and The King and I. I've done Nathan Detroit and Guys and Dolls. I've done Fagin and Oliver. I did a couple of shows. I got a call to do She Loves Me in Lake Zurich. Somebody had dropped out of the play, so I went and filled in a couple of weeks before production with the community theater there, and I played the shopkeeper, Maravitz, I believe the character's name
is. Yes, it is.
And then I got a call about a month later or 2 months later from Elgin. They were doing The Boyfriend, and they needed somebody to play the father, the Englishman, and I came and did that. And then again, yeah, I started
Was this part-time?
This was actually just as a favor. I really, I had already started being a critic.
But I mean, your acting thing, you had been a critic and you were working a day job.
Yeah, I was working a day job and I was doing, what happened, the critic part came, I retired from being in the Yellow Page business with Sprint Yellow Pages, went to work as a consultant with La Raza newspaper for their Yellow Pages. And
that's the Spanish newspaper.
Right, that's the Spanish newspaper in Chicago. And I said to them one day, I see your newspaper has nothing on theater, but you get all these invitations. And they said, we know nobody who wants to go to the theater here. And I raised my hand and said, you now have someone. And I started writing for La Raza on a weekly basis and going, making the rounds. At the time, they cut me out a few times because they only wanted things that related to the Hispanic population. Extra was a little different. They wanted a little bit of everything. And the Epic Times came to me because they had read a few of my reviews and thought it would be great for them to have something that was local. They've been doing New York theater, and people in Chicago wanted Chicago theater. So that's how that all came about.
Well, you know, we have a similar background in that. I was working at a place, and when the Wicker Park Voice, a local neighborhood paper, the editor I got to know because he shared a space in one of those common office spaces, and he said, I'm looking for somebody to write theater. And I put my hand up. I'd always wanted to be a critic. So we have a similarity there.
Right. I try not to use the word critic as much as a lot of people. I tend to think of myself more as a reviewer and educator.
Okay. Tell us the difference in your estimation.
I think my job, especially with the majority of what I write for, the newspapers and the people that I'm dealing with, the Hispanic population, a lot of them are not theater goers and haven't been theater goers, and I want to educate them to become theater goers. One of the things that I need to do is tell them what to look for and teach them more about what to look for in theater, and if you're getting the bang for your buck, if you're going to be entertained. I think going in with the attitude of I'm a critic means I have to find things that are wrong when maybe there are no things that are wrong. Maybe there are things that need to be fixed, and yes, you might want to make comments about certain things that were bad.
So you're much more of a consumer advocate and more of an educator and teaching people, especially new people to theater, what it's about and what they can expect in the show.
What,
like the difference, Shakespeare is different than a musical.
Right, what they should be looking for.
That's needed, by the way.
And I think that more people are open to it. I've had young people who come up to me and they've seen my reviews and they'll say to me, thank you, because I've never been to a play before, and I went, and it was fun. One person from Short Shakespeare, when I explained Short Shakespeare, and most of these Hispanic kids had never been to the theater, and one of the beauties of that theater is that they've always let me bring kids, and I get 40 or 50 kids sometimes to come to the Shakespeare from the Pilsen area and Little Village area. Where
well, that's
bring
great
them in.
Because, you know, we both agree on that getting the young people into theater and giving them permission to like it, and then once they're open to it, they love it.
Right. But they have to be exposed to it. And if you don't expose people to it, they'll never know what it is. It's like giving a kid something to eat. If you don't let them taste it, they'll never know if they really liked it or not.
Yeah, that's true. And you also are a real believer in bringing younger people to the show, too.
Yes.
I mean, just in general. Right?
I think that young people need to be shown. They need to be they need the education of seeing live theater. Movies and TV is what they grow up with. And if they never see live theater, they'll never go to the theater even when they get older. Or they won't enjoy it because they won't know what they're looking at. They expect perfection. The movies they can cut. Nothing ever happens strange, like going to Marriott, where we were there this year for one of their shows, and I think it was like the last three songs were done a cappella because the lights went out.
Yes, yes.
We had no lights, and they had no orchestra, and they went on as if nothing else had ever happened.
That was a magic moment,
right,
wasn't it?
It was. And there's nothing like live theater, because live theater, that can happen. Live theater, somebody can blow a line. Live theater, well, anything could happen. I did a show called Once Upon a Mattress where I played the king, and the king doesn't speak. And there's two scenes where the king is on stage with the same people, one in Act 1 and one in Act 2, and the people who were doing the show with me went to the Act 2 lines in Act 1.
Oh.
And I couldn't speak to get him back on thing. I had to do everything in pantomime. I think I lost about a pound and a half running around that stage.
Oh, that
but
had
I got
to be,
him there.
That had to be a treat.
Yeah,
it was. You got him back on
I got
on
him
script?
Back on track. I got him right where they needed to be. And I went off stage at intermission, and you know, when we took the intermission, and the director came up to me, and she hugged me, and she said, thank you, because the whole show could have been shot. But I couldn't speak. I couldn't do anything to ad-lib, even unless I did it that way. So live theater gives you something where it's an experience, and every time you go, it's different. You can see the same show two, three, four, five times. We all have different actors, different way of producing it, different director, different set, and it changes the whole show.
What would you say to those about to those reviewers that go to shows, you know, looking for a way to attack a show?
Well, I think they should ease up a little bit and go there and enjoy it and look for the positives, look for the things. If there's constructive criticism is what it should be. If you're going to criticize, do it constructively. Don't destruct. I think that it hurts the industry, it hurts the actors. I mean, we want theater. Theater's growing like leaps and bounds here in Chicago. We have more theater than ever. Little storefronts are opening up. Theater companies are blossoming. Don't nip them. Don't cut that blossom. Let that blossom grow. There's more people who want to be a piece of that theater scene. If you destroy a play, you close a play, it's nothing to be proud of because you put actors out of work, you put production people, investors, and maybe they won't invest in the next play, which may be the producers. It may be the biggest show ever.
I couldn't agree with that more. And what advice would you give to people who love theater who want to get into reviewing and writing about theater?
Well, it's a little difficult unless they find a place, they find a newspaper, they find a magazine, they find a publication that doesn't have anything on theater, then maybe they should go in and talk to them. Maybe they should say, I'm a writer, I enjoy writing, I love theater, can I write for you? I'll do it for free. I don't want to get paid for it. I want to be able to do it. And just see if that paper picks up on it.
And of course, learn the craft. I think the
right.
more you go.
Right. The more you do, the better you get. If you watch people who have been writing, and I even found it myself, I started writing, I think it's 8 years ago, and every year I find myself getting better and better at it because I look for certain things now. I have certain catchphrases that I try not to use. I try to come up with something new and something a little more innovative in how I put my words together because I want to be more creative. Just I'm in a creative business. Theater's creative. I want to be creative.
That's a great philosophy. And I've seen you're successful, and I've been seeing your quotes in some of the advertising.
Yeah, which shocked me.
Isn't that fun? It was really neat.
When I got phone calls from people out in my old stomping grounds of Buffalo Grove saying, I saw your name in the paper. I heard your name on the radio. It's kind of fun. But that's not what I do it for. I do it because I want people to go to theater. That's what it's all about.
How many shows do you see in a year?
I don't know the exact numbers. I'm seeing more now than I used to. I think I'm seeing on the average probably, if we look at an average of three a week, so that's probably about 120 during the course of a year to 130 possibly. You know, if we're doing three a week, we've had some weeks where there's six, so there's some weeks where a little quieter, but quite a few.
And do you vary it? Do you? I know you see the major Broadway and Chicago shows, the tours, and you know Steppenwolf and Shakespeare and Goodman. But do you see the storefront?
I see too? A number of storefronts. I also cover because of the two publications. I cover the ballet, I cover dance, and I do cover once in a while an opera, and I do the symphony. If there's anything that's Hispanic, I do go. I go to all the Hispanic everything. In fact, during Latino Fest, when the Goodman does theirs, I'm there for every single performance.
Tell us about the emerging Hispanic theater scene in Chicago.
It's growing. It's going to grow more. There are things that I can't talk about that I am aware of. But there right now we have Teatro Luna, which is a all female teachers group of actors who do some wonderful things, and Teatro Vista, which is the big one. It's the only equity Latino theater group that there is in the United States, I believe, as of last month. They are phenomenal. They do some wonderful work.
Thank you for introducing me to that group. And I have seen their last several productions, and they've been terrific.
Yeah, and the whole thing with the Henry Godinez at the Goodman, of course, this is his big love, bringing Latino Fest, and I helped him a lot with some of the promotion this year. We also brought him to our – we're involved with a literacy type of thing that we do at in Cicero, where we get 20,000 people to come out to learn about reading books. The Spanish market, you know, everybody says they don't read. Well, they do read. And this year the Goodman came out and actually put on – and started Teatro Vista. They put on little shows and did some readings for the kids. The Latino Fest is getting bigger every year. It's getting so big that last year they had to turn people away at the Goodman for that. They're free tickets for most of them.
Yes, I have covered that, and it is amazing.
And some of the things are in Spanish, and they bring in some of the Spanish groups. Different troops come in from Mexico, from Spain, and they're looking now to expand that even further. And hopefully the dream that I have, of course, is that one day there will be a theater in Chicago, a large theater in Chicago that runs every day. There's a Spanish show. I don't know if it'll happen while I'm still around, but I think it will happen. The population is strong enough, and I've seen young people, when you go to the Goodman for that, and you see all these young people who come out talking about they'd like to be actors.
Well, that's great. That's that's encouraging to hear.
It really is a wonderful thing.
Because, you know, you and I both go to too many shows where the audience is like a geriatric.
There's a lot of that around.
We need to bring the young people in.
Yeah, and I think part of it is what it costs to go to the theater. Part of it is the type of shows that are around. And although when you go to certain shows, which I know you're not a fan of Rent, but you got the young crowd there.
Actually, the last production of it, I almost kind of liked. It scared me. I know you like it.
I love it. I think it's a wonderful piece, and I think it's a great thing for young people, but I think it's great to watch the old people. I like to see the old people there, too, the older people, just like I'd like to see some of the younger people go to some of the other shows. But you go to look at Marriott, for example, the strut, the all-night strut that they have now, which is 30s and 40s music, and you feel great, and all the older people and the younger people are all tapping
You're really good at segues. That's the actor in you, because I wanted to get into that, of what some of the great shows are around. And all-night strut is certainly one of the finest brand new shows.
Right. Evidently it was a show before. They did it before someone
did
it.
It was a short review.
Right. And this is just a spectacular evening of entertainment. There is not a person. I think I've talked to 60, maybe 70 people in the suburban, up in the north suburbs that have gone to see it. And every one of them came out loving it. I haven't heard one bad word about that show.
Yeah, it certainly is high energy.
Yeah.
And for our listeners who we do have a review of it up in the review roundup. There's several reviews in mine and several others,
right.
And everyone in town has raved on that show.
That's exciting, and that's something that young, old, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your ethnic background. You cannot walk out of there without just being happy.
That's so true, and the intimacy on that in the round format.
Right.
Have you ever done a show in that format?
Yes. Back when I worked at Music Theater in Highland Park, we did Guys and Dolls there with Tony Bennett and Ray Rayner.
You were with Tony Bennett and Ray Rayner?
That's
terrific.
Yeah. We did Guys and Dolls. I was in that, and I was in, The King and I with Yul Brynner playing the King. I was just one of the henchmen in that when he did it. I'm trying to remember all the shows we did. We did Can Can with Genevieve, if you remember Genevieve.
Sure.
It was a kind of fun summer. It really was. Herb Rogers had a wonderful little theater up in Highland Park back in the 60s. Late 50s and through the 60s. He had Music Theater, and then he had Tent House, which was straight
plays. Yes, I remember the Tent House.
Up in Highland Park. Yeah. That was also his. Never did anything there. I never got to do anything. Because musical, I'm a singer, I guess, more or less. Not a dancer. Although I can if you choreograph it. The funny thing I learned was when I did The King and I couldn't do the dance for Shall We Dance until I got my shoes and socks off and in costume. When I did Fiddler on the Roof and I was doing If I Were a Rich Man, I couldn't get everything right till I got the boots. Once I got the boots, I could do the whole movement.
Why is it actors have those, like, anchors or crutches or...
It just makes you feel the part. It's, you know, acting is believing is what they say, and there's the method acting and the non-method acting, but when you have the props and you have the costume, you start to feel it. You feel who you are, and you become that that character. You disappear. Alan Breslov is no longer there. It's Tevye. And once I became Tevye, I was Tevye. And my voice changed. My everything changes.
And how long do you carry that on after the show? I mean,
for a little bit.
I've heard of actors that it takes them a while
When I did Tevye, I think the first time I did it, I think it took me about a half an hour to. Plus, I grew my own beard. I didn't wear a fake beard. So it took me about a half an hour to 45 minutes before I really felt like I was myself again. Once I was fully out of costume, got into my street clothes, I could go out for a drink with everybody and talk normal and be normal. But during that time, from the time that I got into the theater and put the makeup on, I started becoming my character. And
that was my next question, your preparation.
Yeah. Even now, I do Santa Claus as one of the things that I do during the Christmas season. I go out and I do.
Tell us about that because, folks, I really respect this man for what he does with the charity work and with the Santa Claus. Yeah, so tell us about
that. I started it as a kind of a fluke thing, just doing it for – I coached little kids bowling, something I enjoyed doing out in Vernon Hills. And they didn't have – they had a guy who came out to do Santa Claus the first year I was there, and the guy looked like he wasn't Santa Claus. He had a really bad beard. The costume didn't fit him, and he didn't ho-ho-ho even. I mean, he just kind of like, here's kid. And I said to the owner of the bowling, I said, you can't do that anymore. So I went over to George over at Fantasy Costume, and I told him what I wanted to do. And he said, you can't do just that. I'll give you the outfit, but you can't just do for these kids. You got to do some volunteer work, and you got to bring me something saying you do it. The costume is yours. I said, okay. And I called Lake County, and I said, I'm a volunteer Santa Claus. I don't know where you're going to send me, what you're going to do with me, but I got the suit, and I'll travel. You know, half Santa suit, we'll travel. So they asked me to do a shelter for battered women, and I knew nothing about shelters for battered women. I didn't know what they were. And these are actually people's homes, where they're larger homes, where they bring in these runaways, these women with their kids, who can't be found or don't want to be found by their exes or spouses, and they keep them in seclusion in these homes. And they have very little. So I was brought out, and I came as Santa Claus, and the kids told me what they wanted for Christmas. And I went back to the bowling center, and I said to them, I got to help these kids, and I can't afford to do all this. And Bill said to me, what do you want to do? I said, I got to go buy these kids some stuff. So he said, come on. We went over to Toys R Us. We bought all the presents these kids wanted, went back, and gave them to the kids. That same night, instant gratification for these kids. Then I called companies around and other corporate sponsors so we can find people. Williams-Sonoma at one time was helping me. Bloomingdale's did some stuff when they first opened up in Skokie. I was able to get through Bloomingdale's some food and some gifts for kids. And every year I have about four or five companies that will give me some things to help. And I go out and I do Santa Claus. And
I heard you were doing them like three or four Santa Claus visits a night.
Well, sometimes it's two or three. Sometimes it's two or three. It depends on what they need. Now, there are some more volunteers other than me. But I during the month from Thanksgiving on, I keep my outfit, all my gear in my car. If I get a call and somebody's not going to show up somewhere, I go. And I'll call my customers, you know, my regular daily, I have a day job. I'll call them and say, I got to go be Santa Claus, so you know, we'll have to make this for another day.
Well, I respect that. Congratulations.
I enjoy it. There's nothing like watching these kids who would have nothing. We adopt a family every year, and that family, we bring everything to them. And we have letters that go into the, and this is done in Cicero. People send in letters of what their needs are, why they need it, and then we look at the letters. And we find ones, I mean, there's been ones where people were burned out of their home 4 days before Christmas, no insurance. We've actually, 2 years ago, brought furniture. We refurnished, we put them in an apartment, and we furnished the apartment, brought a TV, VCR, clothes for the kids. They had lost all their clothes. And it wasn't a question of how much money it was, but we got the look on their faces to give them something at a time when that's so important to them. It's a time of giving, so give.
And it makes you feel good. I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, there's no question.
How long have you been doing this as Santa Claus?
It's 31 years.
31 years.
Yeah, I'm on my third outfit, and I'm going in next week to get a new outfit. I'm ready for the fourth Santa Claus suit.
So that sort of takes care of the actor in you also, right?
Oh, yeah, a little ho-ho-ho and, you know, the other night I did one where it was a Spanish group, and I'm singing Feliz Navidad, and I'm dancing and having a ball. And every little kid wanted to sit on my lap, but then every Latina lady wanted to sit on my lap as well.
I'm sure your wife loved that, right?
She wasn't there, so it worked out okay.
Well, she knows about it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, that's great. Now, let's talk, in the remaining minutes we have, let's talk about some of the top shows of the year. Give us some of your picks. Let's first talk about musicals.
Okay.
What do you think are some of the better musicals?
Actually, one of my favorites didn't last long, was You're in Town, which I thought the production was
I couldn't agree with you more.
So good.
Wasn't it?
I mean, it was just dynamite, and it's just amazing. I don't know if it's the name.
A lot of people say it's the name.
Yeah, because it's such a delightful show, and it just was so much fun. I mean, I have a very loud laugh, which you know.
Oh, yes.
And everybody always knows when I'm in the theater. If it's a comedy and there's nobody laughing, they figure I must be sick.
Well, that's folks for you. Yeah. Al's got that great laugh, and it's what we call the Al Breslov test. If you wonder if a show is funny, if Al is really laughing, that's your first indicator. All right, what else you like in music?
Well, I did like Man of La Mancha that was done at the Court.
They did a
remarkable job with that in a very intimate theater, which you're not used to. Normally that would be in a large house for that show. Of course, Marriott had a great year.
Yes, they did.
So, you know, one of my very favorite, Sondheim is probably one of my favorite people. And Into the Woods, which I adore the show.
I do too.
That was probably the best production I have ever seen of that.
Incredible voices, yeah.
It was just perfect. I mean, there was like nothing wrong with that one in any way, shape, or form. Then there was the new musical, you know, my mind, without having anything in front of me, but that there's a new little theater on Chicago Avenue by Halsted. There was that musical, like an opera type thing.
Madame X. That's on my list.
Yeah,
as an original
surprise,
show.
Yeah. It was a very big surprise to me, because I read the press release and I thought, well, this is going to be okay. They're going to try to do something like an Andrew Lloyd Webber type of thing. And I was just shocked at how good it was.
I thought it was going to be a sex show. I didn't read it. You know, Madame X.
Oh, okay. You're right. It could have been.
It was a chamber piece based on the French story.
Yeah, it was about a week after they had done that show at that Kumasatra thing, which I don't want to talk about at all.
Yes.
But it was, you know, that was a late night thing for the people who've been drinking all night. This was a wonderful show that had a beginning and an end and a story. And
I think
nice
it was
music.
One of the three best original shows, All Night Strut, Madame X, and Michael Smith's show that we saw at Victory Gardens too long ago.
Yeah. And thank God they're holding
the
that
Snow
one
Queen.
Over.
Yeah, yes.
The Snow Queen is just a remarkable piece. It's I felt like I was at a folk rock opera, if you can put it any other way, because it had a little bit of everything, but it had just spellbinding, taking a story, a Hans Christian Andersen story, which I think I read. I'm not even sure if I ever read it. But it made it come to life. It made it real.
What about in dramatic shows? What did you like this past
year? Well, you know, I don't see as many probably, but King Lear was magnificent. King Lear was a very strong, solid production that I loved. I think the other one that I was kind of surprised about is the one at Teatro Vista did.
Blind Mouth Singing. That was terrific.
Yeah, that
the
was
staging
terrific.
On that, they really do a great, and
right.
the acting.
Yeah, and then just recently, of course, at Steppenwolf, the Sonya Flew.
I like that a lot.
Which, you know, one of my clients happens to have been one of the Peter Pan boys. I mean, he came here.
That Cuban airlift.
Right. Yeah.
He was, in 1960.
He was part of that.
You know someone.
Yeah. And when I was talking with him about the show, and he I wasn't sure, and then he said, "I'm a Peter Pan." And
wow.
I said, "You are."
That made that show come to life, huh?
Yeah. Then he told me all about what happened and how he got out, and that if he hadn't, he would have been a soldier. And he would have been forced to fight as one of Castro's people. And he didn't want to be that, and his family didn't want that for him. But that was a dynamic piece, and it was well done, well played. A little surprise on getting that information out to people.
I didn't know about that. Yeah. And I'm pretty up on that history, but I just not.
I think most people didn't. They heard it, the Peter Pan, but they didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have an opportunity. You know, this was an opportunity to learn about that.
Okay, in the interest of time, because we only have a couple of minutes left, Shattered Globe and Writers Theater certainly had a good year.
Yes.
Shattered Globe, The Dealer's Choice. Remember House of Blue Leaves?
I didn't see
House of Blue
Leaves.
Oh, you didn't see that. Okay.
That one I didn't see. But I remember going to I'm trying to remember some of the other shows that I've seen that I really, really thought were...
Well, at Writers Theater?
Yeah, well, The Bus Stop, of course, was a tremendous production, Writers. And I think the other one that I really liked was Another Part of the Forest. I didn't get to some of the others, but Another Part of the Forest I did see, and I thought it was a solid production. There's another surprise theater. It's a very tiny little intimate theater, and it's amazing the productions that they put on there.
Yeah, Michael Halverson's done a great job.
It's actually been a year with so much theater that there have been so many nights that I haven't been able to go because I can't go to more than one play at a time.
Yeah,
and I
getting
can't
them
even
all in
reschedule.
Is hard, isn't it? Yes.
I think this month in December, I think there probably were 30, maybe 35 openings in a matter of 20-some-odd days, which makes it very difficult.
Well, you got to be crazy like me to go as many times as I go. But,
right.
But
well,
I do see you at all the major shows.
I'm at all the majors. I have to cover all the majors. And I try to get to a lot of the little storefronts. I've been on Milwaukee Avenue and Lawrence. I've been to little plays there.
In interest of time here, what advice would you give, since you have this strong background as an actor and you're like me, you're an unabashed, unapologetic theater lover, what advice would you give for a young person who wants to be an actor, who wants to be a performer?
Best advice is to stay with it, stick to it, try it, go to auditions. Don't, if you get turned down, doesn't mean you got to quit. Some directors may look at you and say you're perfect, and others may not think you're right. Even if you think you're right and they don't, they make the final decision. But don't give up. You got to stick with it if you want to be. I remember seeing a young lady. In fact, she's in the Snow Queen right now. She was. Her name is Maddie Hawkins. We saw her in her very first show she did at the Chopin Theater, and she was very unhappy afterwards. She said that she got such a small little part, and I said it's only the beginning. And now she's playing a lead, and it's kind of
she's
exciting to see that.
She is.
She's tremendous. She that little bit of spark because she got it gave her an opportunity to grow. So you grow and you grow and you grow. And there are no small parts or only small actors.
That's a great way to send it. That's a great way to end this. Al, thank you very much. And we'll be reading your reviews. And I think you and I will be doing a few other things together in the near future.
If nothing else, I'll see you at the theater.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. And, folks, remember, this is Tom Williams. Thank you for listening. Go see a play this week.